So tonight I'm going to leave you in a little suspense and not get into where we're going to go until I've given you a little teaser. But so I was asked to bring a message last month, almost exactly a month to this day. And, you know, the Lord gave me a message, and it was really nice to have that just press upon you. It's a real blessing and cherish when something comes to you and you just didn't realize what it was. And God's like, you know what, you need this. You need this in your life, and others need this in your life. And last month, what I talked about was hate. And I'm going to talk about a counterpart to that. So let me pray before we get started. Dear Lord, we thank you for this evening. I most of all thank you for your touch. And thank you for the word that you give me as it opens up, not only for my life, but for others. And I pray that the words I speak tonight would be edifying to others, that they would hear this word, and they would know your instruction in our lives and know that you are always there, in control, all-powerful, to hold our hand in time of need. Just pray that you'd be with Northwood Baptist Church this evening, and let your word be blessed. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So last month, it was hate. And for those that weren't there or weren't here, it was talking about less hate tastes great. And really, it came to me as that in our society today, what do we see abundance of? We see an absolute abundance of hate, a ton of it. And I kind of was comparing that to kind of like how we do a diet, right? So the opposite of hate is love. You can get rid of hate with love. You can apply love and you can drive it out. But just like I said, getting on a treadmill to burn those calories that you already have is applying love to hate. But keeping hate out of your life in the first place, avoiding it, not consuming it, not ingesting it, is just like not taking in calories in the first place. It's kind of like a diet plan, right? So less hate tastes great. And I probably confused a lot of people because I presented the fact that the Bible actually says to hate, but then it says don't hate. But it says we are to hate those things that are wicked in the eyes of the Lord. That's what we're instructed to do. But we're not instructed to hate others. And that's not good. That's a bad thing. So one thing I didn't talk about back then is what enables us to hate. What a lot of times causes hate? What allows it to exist? What allows it to grow and become this great thing? And tonight I want to speak about what tends to fuel our hate. What drives hate? And just like talking about hate, where the Bible says you're to hate wicked things, you're supposed to hate, and then you're not to hate when it comes to people, don't hate people. The Bible says the same thing about anger. It says we are supposed to be angry, but at the same time, we're not to be angry. So it's a real confusing thing, and I find it confusing. It's do it and don't do it. But you know, the Bible recognizes anger as an emotion, as it's in it. If I had to give a title, we always give titles, right? This is anger, the unforbidden emotion. Because you're allowed to be angry. The Bible says you should be angry. Now, the Bible, it acknowledges anger as a human emotion. And there's always these things in society, we talk about emotions and we talk about feelings. But we never really talk about the difference, right? Emotions are what come to you. Feelings are controllable. You know, I feel very uncomfortable in this situation, but I can control it. But if I have an emotion of anxiety that comes over me, it's something that comes over you and it controls you. It's an emotion. So anger is one of those things that can come over you as an emotion. In the Bible, though, it instructs how to manage our anger. It helps us manage the anger so it doesn't become that sin. That is the anger that you're not to do. But we want the anger that promotes righteousness. That's the key. So while the Bible emphasizes that anger is a catalyst that causes us to sin, it also provides example where anger as a righteous anger is actually the appropriate thing in response to an injustice or a wrongdoing. So we're instructed to be angry. And if you want to turn there, Ephesians 4, 26 and 27, this is the key verse for being angry. It struck me really funny. Ephesians 4, 26 and 27. Because it says, 26, be ye angry. It says it right there. You are to be angry. And, here it comes, and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. So, right here, the Bible is saying, be angry. So, how can that be a sin? If the Bible is telling me to be angry, the Bible would never tell you to sin. So, this is an anger that's not sin. Why not? Well, there is a type of anger, like I said, that is about being righteous anger. And the Bible approves of this anger, and it's also called righteous indignation, right? So indignation is anger or annoyance that is provoked by what we perceive as an unfair treatment or an injustice. And there's two examples I have to share tonight. And in order to give the first one, I'm gonna read a few verses. I'm going to be in 2 Samuel, if you want to jump there, 2 Samuel 12. And I'm going to read 1 through 7 real quickly for context, because I want to make sure we have context of this. In 2 Samuel 12, 1 through 7, it says, "And the Lord sent Nathan unto David, and he came unto him, and he said to him, there were two men in one city, one rich and the other poor. The rich man had exceeding many flocks and herds, but the poor man had nothing save one little ewe lamb, which he had bought and nourished it up, and it grew up together with him and with his children. And it did eat of his own meat, and it drank of his own cup, and lay in his bosom, and was unto him as a daughter. And there came a traveler unto the rich man, and he spared to take of his own flock and of his own herd to dress for the unfaring man that was come unto him, that not his own flock, but took the poor man's lamb, dressed it for the man that was come to him." In other words, they ate this poor man's lamb. And verse 5, "And David's anger was greatly kindled against the man. And he said to Nathan, as the Lord liveth, the man that hath done this thing shall surely die." And here we see in 5, David's anger was greatly kindled. Here we see David expressing righteous anger towards an injustice. And I wanted to use this example because how ironic, how poetic, if you will, that this injustice is being communicated by the prophet Nathan to David. And it's a parable and it's a story. And David didn't even know it was him. And we haven't got to that. But David was angry. And then in verse 6, and he said, "And he shall restore the lamb fourfold because he did this thing and because he had no pity." 7, verse 7, here it comes. Here comes the hammer. "And Nathan said to David, thou art the man. Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I anointed thee king over Israel, and I delivered thee out of the hand of Saul." Can you imagine what David thought at that time? I think it's very ironic that he was expressing righteous anger for something that happened wrong. But it's just amazing in God's word that it was about him of himself, something he had done, an injustice that he had committed, and he was angry for it. So righteous anger, and what I won't go in through this is that, you know, I would like to think this is where David's eyes were opened. All of a sudden, you know, Nathan tells him, can you imagine the sinking feeling in David's stomach? Can you imagine being told that and the light bulb coming on and seeing exactly that was you? And I would like to think that's where he made a change. But this was anger that was righteous anger. And what I won't go through is what David decides to do because of this. Because Nathan has confronted him of the things he had done, and because his anger was righteous, that righteous anger drove him to action. So righteous anger, the anger that we are told to have, be ye angry for an injustice, for something wrong, That anger is intended to help us take action. It's intended to help us understand something that's gone wrong. And if I do jump down to 13, 2 Samuel 12:13, and David said unto Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. And Nathan said unto David, the Lord also hath put away thy sin, thou shalt not die. What a great story that he was forgiven. So David had righteous anger that drove him to action. That's the allowed anger. I'm going to give you another example in John, Gospel of John, chapter 2. We're going to be at 13. Who's the ultimate example? We see David. He was a great king, a great man, and he had righteous anger. How about our Lord? Does God get angry? And it's in John 2, 13 through 18, it says, and the Jews' Passover was at hand, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. And he found in the temple those that sold oxen and sheep and doves and the changers of money sitting. And when he had made a scourge, that's punishment, of small cords, he drove them all out of the temple and the sheep and the oxen and poured out the changers' money and overthrew the tables. And he said unto them that sold doves, take these things hence, make not my father's house a house of merchandise. Here we see the Lord showing anger. He was angry. He was righteously angry. Jesus was righteous in his anger in what they had done to the house of God, what they have done to the temple. It was an injustice. It was horrible. I don't know how to drive it. But his anger, his righteous anger, drove him into action. And his action was to scourge them, to punish them, to drive them out. He poured out their money on the ground. He turned over the tables. Can you imagine that in our church? Imagine something so horrible as having something being sold or being done in a church. And would you be happy? Would you be mad? I think your anger would be justified. So we see that David was angry, and we see that Christ was angry in their righteous anger. So it says, be ye angry, Ephesians 4:26. But now if we take Ephesians 4, and we're going to jump down to 31 and 32 in the same chapter. So now the Bible says, don't be angry. So now I'm in Ephesians 4, 31 through 32. It says, and when this is a big one, it's highlighted in my Bible, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. See that anger in there? We're to put that away. We're to put it in a box. Get rid of it. We don't want that kind of anger because that is the anger of the Lord. He owns that. We don't. We're not to be angry. So while a righteous anger for an injustice is not forbidden, the sin of anger is still a sin and it's forbidden. And the anger is that of the type that if I'm angry, what do we also say that angry? If you're angry at someone, now that Christ has died and been risen, we think of anger as murder. If I have anger in my heart towards an individual, that's murder in God's eyes. It's taken to another level. So anger can be sinful. And I have three examples here. Let's talk about anger can become sinful when it is motivated by pride. Your pride. In James 1, verse 20, it says, for the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. And we could substitute anger in there. For the anger of man, I'm not going to do God's work. I'm not going to give him glory by showing anger to someone else or displaying anger. Anger without the injustice is sin. Anger without the target. And that is God's anger for the injustice. So pride can motivate anger. Pride can become sinful when it is unproductive and it distorts God's purpose. So in 1 Corinthians 10:31, it says, another big one, "Wherefore, whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God." So being angry distorts God's purpose. And why is that? Because we say God is love. To have anger in your heart towards someone is not love. It's murder in God's eyes. And it distorts the love that God has for everyone. And third, anger can become sinful when it is allowed to linger and give Satan a foothold. Because if you remember, in Ephesians 4, key verse 26 and 27, it said, "Be angry," commanded to be angry, but it says, "Sin not." And the last half is, "Neither give place to the devil." Because the time we let this anger linger, that's where Satan gets a foothold in our life. Because Satan uses that anger. Just like we see today, anger and division fueling hate. Every one of these emotions is a tool that can be used in an incorrect way. And Satan will grab a hold of that anger every time if you allow it to stay in your life. So neither give place to the devil. Do not give Satan a foothold. And if you allow it to linger, it will become sin. And as I try and wrap this up, I just want to say that, you know, we must be mindful that while it tells us to be angry, and we know and we've discussed that's because of an injustice, it is righteous anger towards an injustice. And really, it's an injustice in God's eyes. So it has to be an injustice that's defined by the Bible, not defined by us, not what we see as an injustice, but by God's standards, what is an injustice? And the righteous anger, even though it says to be angry, it ultimately belongs to the Lord. And we just make sure that we don't hang on to that anger. That's not ours to keep, and that's not ours to hang on to. That we have to give it back to the Lord in His perfect wisdom. Because will not God deal with that situation in His perfect wisdom? So while we might be driven to action by our righteous anger that we're given, we're allowed to do, and we participate in something that builds our faith through that. Because in order to be angry, you're defending God's word. You're going against an injustice of God's word. But we want to use that to build our faith, not let us lead us into sin. And God is the one that will fully and completely resolve that situation. So it says, you know, don't let the sun go down on your wrath. In other words, get out of the way. Have your anger for its moment. Let it work that work that God wanted for you in your life. Let it drive you to action, but don't let it be sinful. Don't linger on it. Get out of the way before Satan grabs a hold of it and decides to twist it and use it. So God will do that situation and for His full glory and honor. So don't let your anger create and drive hate. Like I spoke about hate before. Anger can drive that hate. But also, don't let your anger come between you and your walk with the Lord. And that's what I would have for my life. Let us pray. Dear Lord, we just thank You for so much wisdom in Your word and so much instruction in our lives. And not only is the Bible from cover to cover a love letter of our Lord and Savior that gave His life for us, it's also our instruction manual. While we are here on earth and while we are doing Your will in our lives, Lord, just pray that You would help us to understand Your word more fully each and every day, that it would guide us, and that we would use these tools and these emotions would be used for Your glory and Your honor, and that You would receive that which they would work in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.